Friends, welcome to St. David's Cathedral. It's lovely to have you join us on this Good Friday, whether you're from Hobart, whether you're from somewhere in Tasmania, whether you're from anywhere around the world. It's great that you're being here with us today as we remember our Lord's crucifixion. It is perhaps one of the more unusual Good Fridays in church history. There is no one in the cathedral today. But perhaps the very barrenness and starkness of our surroundings remind us of the desolation of the event which we are to mark today. We'd love it if you have been able to download the service from the website. It will help you to read along and know where the services are or the references are coming from. We hope that you might even sing along on the hymns which are being sung. But most of all, we'd love you to know Christ crucified and the joy that comes from knowing that sins are forgiven and we have hope. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that he resolved to know nothing apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified. On this most solemn day, our thoughts should also be focused on him who died that we might live, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Let us hear again his words from the cross, words of forgiveness, salvation and compassion, of anguish, suffering, victory, of faith and hope. Let us hear again of God's love for the world shown in the gift of his Son. Let us return again to Calvary. You men there, keep those women back. And God Almighty, he laid down on the cross timber, and old Silenus, my offsider, looked at me as if to say, nice work for soldiers. Your mind's not your own once you sign that dotted line. Ave Caesar and all that malarkey, Imperator Rex. Well, this Nazarene, he didn't make it any easier, really. Not like the ones who kick up a fuss so you can do your block and take it out on them. Silenus held the spike ready and I let fly with the sledgehammer, not looking on the downswing, trying hard not to hear over the women's wailing, the bones give way, the iron shocking the dumb wood. Orders is orders, I said after it was over. Nothing personal, you understand. We had a drill sergeant once, thought he was God, but he wasn't a patch on you. Then we hauled on the ropes as he rose in the hot air, like a diver just leaving the springboard, arms spread so it seemed over the whole damned creation. Over the big men who must have had it in for him, and the curious ones who'll watch anything if it's free. With only the usual women caring anywhere, and a blind man in tears.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets.
O God and Father of us all, who heard the prayer of Jesus Christ your Son, that those who nailed him to the cross should be forgiven, we thank you for this assurance of a love that even in our ignorance and sin, always pleads on our behalf. Write this prayer on our hearts that we may learn to love as we are loved, to forgive as we are forgiven. Amen.
The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, who taught us of a Father's love that rejoiced in the return of the prodigal son, and even in the hour of your death, gave a repentant sinner the promise of your continued presence. We thank you for this word of reassurance, that death cannot separate us from your love. And we pray that as we grow in understanding of your cross, we may draw nearer to our eternal home. Amen.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ does our comfort overflow.
Dear Lord, who has blessed us with the gift of family life, that we may learn to love and care for others, we praise you for the example of Jesus Christ our Lord, who even when deserted and betrayed by his closest friends, took time to consider his mother. Open our eyes to care for our family and our brothers and sisters in the faith. Stir our hearts to serve all who are called to walk in the way of the cross, in the way of love. Amen.
From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
O God, whose love never fails us, and from whom nothing can separate us, we thank you for the glory of your Son's obedience that carried him through the loneliness of his passion. And we pray that in the hour of our trial, when all is dark and there is no vision, we may be strengthened in our faith, knowing that the spirit of him who suffered alone will never leave us to endure alone. Amen.
Thank you.
Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Son of man, who entered our mortal life to be one of us in our human ways, we bless you for the love that stooped down to the level of our need. And although the reward of your self-giving was the cross, we rejoice in knowing that through the grief and pain and thirst, the victory was won in our humanity. And the glorious hope of our salvation is in the one who is both God and man. Amen.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, because you submitted to the discipline of a son's obedience and perfectly revealed in your death the Father's nature of love. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Man, because as our champion you did enter the battle against evil for our sake and won the perfect victory over its power. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, servant of God, because by your one sacrifice you made us one with God. For your finished work, we thank you. Amen.
It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man."
To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Abba Father, in whom the Saviour trusted as in life so in death, we bless you for this last word which marked the completion of Jesus' work on the cross. The end achieved, grant us a strong faith that when our life on earth draws to its close, we may not fear to surrender it into your hands as our all-wise and all-loving Father. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we come to God's word, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? These are Jesus' words that he cries from the cross, the cry of dereliction and despair. There's something rather moving about speaking on Jesus' cry of dereliction, forsakenness, in this period of COVID-19 isolation. Even more poignant to be preaching this sermon in an empty church, which would normally be filled to the brim on this most solemn of days in the Christian calendar. The words, "Why have you forsaken me?" are close to the bone, and perhaps will have a different ring for you this Good Friday as never before. If you haven't seen another human face in the flesh for a few weeks, you too might feel forsaken, discarded, and alone. I cannot imagine the weight of aloneness for our leaders at this time, our Premier and our Prime Minister, who are in our hearts and prayers as they carry the weight of office, mostly alone. And as we read of Jesus' last hours on the cross, the eyewitnesses of Jesus' crucifixion preserve a little snippet of Jesus' own language of Aramaic in this cry. It's a reminder that this is not fiction, but an account of an actual event. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" No doubt as he hung on the cross in that unusual midday darkness, Jesus felt utterly alone. His closest friends had abandoned him. Mostly only the women were at the cross, and even then they were standing away off. In the searing agony of dying, he feels utterly alone and abandoned and forsaken, discarded and despairing. I was shocked when I heard a UK spokesman say this week that 20,000 deaths from COVID-19 would be a good result for the UK. Like many of us, I guess I find myself glued to the daily statistics of infections and deaths. As we watch this virus ravaging our world, we can imagine the loneliness and forsakenness of people who will die pretty much alone, certainly without their family and friends by their side. But for Jesus, it was not just abandonment from his friends that caused his anguished cry. It was not just the loneliness of death, but something deeper. Jesus' words are a quote from the opening verses of Psalm 22, the ancient songbook of Israel. And these words read, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning?" These were originally words of King David when he was under great distress, feeling abandoned by the Lord to whom he cries out in this psalm in anguish. And many people down through the years have appropriated the words of this psalm to express their own suffering. Imagine the woman living in isolation with a husband who abuses her, or a child with mental illness, or those whose health is fragile, unable to see a son or daughter at this time. Praying these words would be an authentic way of expressing lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? But Psalm 22 has a deeper meaning, as it is appropriated by Jesus as he takes these words and uses them for himself. One wonders, in fact, whether Jesus may have spoken out the whole psalm as he hung on the cross of Calvary. And if the gospel writers who recall these words are indicating that we should go to the psalm and read it all. Listen to these words from verse 7. "All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights." Or from verse 14, "I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. No wonder some think that this psalm is a prophecy of Jesus' death. So accurately does it describe the circumstances of that dreadful day. But in it, also a new and more profound truth. For unlike David, who wrote it, for whom it seemed as if the Lord had forsaken him, Jesus finds himself at this moment of his life for the first time, truly and actually forsaken by his heavenly Father. We know that God the Father cannot look upon sin. And as Jesus dies on the cross, he takes on the sin of the whole world. And at that moment, he hangs there all alone. In that moment, the Father does forsake him. As the modern hymn writer Stuart Townend puts it, "How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory." The Father turns his face away. The darkness descends on our Lord Jesus, and he is forsaken. At this moment, we see the great exchange. Christ exchanging places with us. Listen to the next verse of Townend's hymn. "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." The New York church leader Tim Keller succinctly puts it this way. "The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived the life we should have lived, and died the death we should have died." Or more fulsomely, this 19th century writer puts it this way: "Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his." Or as the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God." This is the great exchange. The great exchange that takes place on the cross, recalled for us as Jesus utters these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They express the heart of our faith. That Christ died in your place and in mine. That he took the penalty for me, took the punishment due to you and to me, underwent the agony of separation from his Father, so that my punishment being complete and your punishment being complete, we can stand forgiven. My sin upon his shoulders, holding him there, forsaken, so that I'm free and forgiven and restored and unforsaken by my Father in that moment. The ultimate gift of love, his life for yours and mine. But Psalm 22 is not all despair. It ends by turning to praise God for hearing the cry of his abandoned one and bringing redemption. Listen to verse 22. "I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel." And in verse 30, it ends this way. "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. These words celebrate the victory won by the Lord in redeeming his faithful one. How fitting then that Jesus' final word on the cross, recorded by John, is, "It is finished." It is finished. He has done it. The price for our sin is paid, and Jesus' death completes his work of redeeming the world. He frees us from our sins. He takes us from our past mistakes. He cleanses us from our stains and gives us new life. All that remains for you and me is trusting him. Trusting him that he did that for you. That as he pays for your sins, you can be freed from your past and forgiven for all your wrongs, and you can live again. God bless you this Good Friday.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class. Father, forgive. The covetous desires of peoples and nations to possess what is not their own. Father, forgive. The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth. Father, forgive. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others. Father, forgive. Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee. Father, forgive. The lust which dishonours women, men and children. Father, forgive. The pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God. Father, forgive. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Almighty God, look with mercy on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given in the hands of sinners, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, receive our prayers and supplications, which we offer before you for all people in your Holy Church, that all its members, in their vocation and ministry, may truly and godly serve you, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. O merciful God, you have made all people, and you hate nothing that you have made, nor desire the death of sinners, but rather they should turn and live. Have mercy on all who have not known you, or who deny the faith of Christ crucified. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word, and so fetch them home, blessed Lord, to your fold, that we may be made one flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Heavenly Father, our ever-present help in trouble, our fortress and our God, calm the anxious fears of all who turn to you. Give strength and healing to those who are sick, courage and skill to those who care for them. Grant wisdom and clarity to those in authority, and humble us all to call upon you, that we may be saved not only in this life, but also for that which is to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the coming of the kingdom in the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Go safe in God's love, in the light of the gospel of Jesus his Son, and the strength of the Spirit, and live a new life to his glory. In the name of Christ. Amen.